It is pretty clear that Lily and Rufus are meant for each other since they both seem to live vicariously through their children's love lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true.
Upper East Siders and all you scandal-loving listeners out there, you just tuned into the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, where the coffee is strong, the waffles are fresh, and the gossip is hotter than ever. My name is Leaf, and I'm your seasoned Gossip Girl veteran.
And I'm Steve. I'm the newbie exploring the glitz and glam of the Upper East Side for the first time. I'm the greenhorn, the newbie, what do you call the new kid on the block in Gossip Girl terms, Leaf?
Well, I don't think you're ready to make your debut, so I think they just label you as a project at this point. You know, the girl that has the potential to be a Blairite.
Well then, dress me up in an Eleanor Waldorf original and let's get started.
All right, sounds good.
So here's the deal, folks. Leaf has been watching Gossip Girl since it first aired, and I'm a brand new to the show, watching for the first time, and together, we're your dynamic duo dissecting the drama, the schemes and the sometimes questionable fashion choices of our favorite Upper East Siders.
That's right. Each week we're going to break down all the schemes, secret hookups, and couture catastrophes. And trust me, there are a few of them.
And because we're all about inclusivity here at the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, there's always a seat for you at the Non-Judging Breakfast table. So go ahead, grab your mimosa, a cup of coffee, and maybe some Nate and Chuck special medicine, if that's how you start your day, and let's get started.
This week we are going to be breaking down season 1, episode 10, titled High Society. Did you catch the reference?
I actually did not. I thought it was very apropos to the plot, but I didn't catch the reference to it.
Yeah, so it's actually high, as in hi.
Like hello, yeah.
Yeah. No, well, no. So the actual movie is high, as in like up.
Oh, okay.
Society. It's a 1956 musical remake of The Philadelphia Story.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't as good. You know, you replace Jimmy Stewart and who's the other guy in Philadelphia Story? Cary Grant.
Oh.
With Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually Grace Kelly's last movie, and she does a decent job as the Tracy Lord socialite character.
How's the music?
It's okay. Louis Armstrong's also in it.
Oh, that's that could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you're into that, you know, 50s jazz, you know,
yeah,
era stuff.
Yeah. I ask because Robin loves Sinatra. Robin's grandfather was a huge Sinatra fan. And mm-hmm. So Sinatra always brings warm fuzzies to Robin. So, yeah. Any recognizable songs from it? Like anything that we all know?
I mean, it's all original stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a musical.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, you have those like songs from musicals that break out. That's why I wasn't sure.
Not anything that I recognized. The Louis Armstrong character was slightly offensive, of course.
I can.
And the setting was moved from Philadelphia to Rhode Island.
Jerks.
Have you seen The Philadelphia Story?
No, I haven't.
I mean,
It's a funny movie. It's from the 30s, so it's even
more offensive.
It's less offensive in that way because I don't think there's any people of color in Philadelphia Story, but like the opening scene of the movie is like is Tracy Hepburn getting punched in the face by her ex-husband, but it's not comedic. Like she like goes flying backwards.
Yeah.
And so it's all good.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, the 30s.
But yeah, I mean, taking that into account, it is a kind of funny movie.
Yeah.
Bad woman who is trying to, I mean, she's about to marry this new guy who's kind of boring, but everyone wants her to go back with her ex-husband who is a like jazz musician, and he's cool and he's rich and he's fun. Her new fiance is like a moralist, he's considered. But she is as well, so they are a good match. But then in the lead up to the wedding, because you know they're high society people, they're socialites, Spy magazine sends the Frank Sinatra character to go like interview and like report on the wedding, and he also falls in love with her.
Oh,
so that's how you get to tie in back to Gossip Girl. With the three guys,
right, one girl. All and yeah, that may, okay.
So
that
it does tie back together.
Yeah,
yeah. Original air date was December 5th, 2007, and the Television Without Pity episode description reads: Serena is roped into attending the debutante ball. Yes, by her crazy grandmother Cece. Furthermore, proving her worth, Cece despises Dan, which hurts his little feelings. Blair and Nate go together as friends, just like Harold and Eleanor. Once Nate starts to find out Blair into somebody else, though, it's on. Jenny chooses the ball over her mom's stupid art opening, and Rufus learns the real reason Lily dumped his ass 20 years ago. In other news, everybody is wearing tuxes, and Chuck is back. Are they implying that Nate is gay?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It didn't seem like it at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I've never gotten that impression. Yeah, that actually took me a second to go back over. I didn't really,
Directed by Patrick Norris, who last directed Bad News Blair, which was the fashion shoot episode.
Yeah, right.
Which had some good scenes, but I the writing was not great in that episode.
No.
Especially the Dan and Blair scene at the end of the episode was very well.
Yeah, seen. Yeah, it was.
And the episode was written by Josh Safran, who also last wrote Bad News Blair. So
right, and yeah, and so and
So we got the bad writing with the good directing again.
Yeah, yeah. Writing
was better this episode.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this was a stronger episode. I think it was also. Largely due to there was a lot of momentum behind this episode. Like there was so.
Yeah, I think this episode was very well planned. I think it was one they thought of early on in the planning of the season. I believe going forward, the 10th episode is usually a big Dan and Serena episode.
Okay. And I remember last week I said that there hasn't been any real tension there for a bit, and that you know
they got we'll get into it more, but I like that they flipped the script on this time. Good communication didn't work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, but and when we get there, yeah, because it was good communication, but maybe not done well. Yeah. You know, open communication, yeah. Maybe not good communication.
Yeah, yeah, so he was being honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get into the episode. The opening monologue. Hey, Upper East Siders. It's the time of year again when the mere act of descending a staircase means you're a woman. That's right, debutante season. And what we hear, there's been some changes to the lineup. Act 1 begins. Blair and Serena are walking to school. They discuss Blair taking a prince to Cotillion.
She's very excited because, Nate was, you know, always so self-absorbed and brooding. I love that Blair refers to Nate as being self-involved in that scene.
Yeah.
When Nate had all of this shit he was legit going through.
Yeah.
And how he was like trying to talk to Blair about it. Like he was reaching out to her.
Well, she was also like commenting on like getting like a security detail and how
and whisked away
so glamorous.
Yeah.
Or Nate's just in the back of the town car.
Yeah.
Some rosé. How dull.
Yeah. You poor thing.
Chuck and Nate are also walking and discussing the change in Blair's demeanor.
Yeah, and she has a certain glow about her, as Chuck says.
Yes.
And it's funny, because this was one of those Robin moments where she goes, she's acting like she got laid, Nate.
Oh, yeah, Nate's pretty inexperienced. He's only had sex the one time.
Yeah, and the woman that he slept with disappeared immediately afterwards. Yeah.
So he's not quite good at reading these cues yet.
Yeah.
We'll see how he comes along in the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a feeling he won't have much trouble finding women.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean he definitely seems to have, you know, and it's such a classic guy thing. The second you break up with someone and you see them, especially when they're, even if you don't know they've been with someone else, when you get that energy, you're like, oh man, I do want that back. And it's so...
Well, to be fair, she is acting differently.
Right, yeah.
So
she is. And, yeah. And I'm saying, but I think my bigger point just being that, like, you had your chance, Nate.
Yes. Jenny and Dan are also walking to school and discussing cotillion. Jenny thinks it's the best thing ever, but Dan thinks it's an antiquated tradition.
Yeah. I mean, this conversation lands exactly where you expect it to.
Yeah.
And
tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dan to be like, yeah, Serena's not doing it. You know, we get that.
Didn't we have the same issue with the last with dance?
The Serena's not going.
Yeah. And didn't care about it.
Wait, which last dance? Because, I mean, like, let's start at episode one. How many things has Lily made Serena go to that she didn't want to go to?
There was the brunch. This was
Chuck's brunch.
The masked ball, I think?
The masked ball.
There's nothing in seven. Eight was their date?
Yeah.
No, that was episode five was their date, Daredevil. Eight was...
Nine was the Thanksgiving, so that it was just,
yeah,
you know, that wasn't any of that tension there. But yeah, yeah. But in general, there have been quite a few. Serena's not going to go to that thing.
But the one with where Vanessa showed up, like one of the first Vanessa episodes where, and then she was going to, like, he told her. He was hanging out with Jenny and he lied twice.
That was the masquerade. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the last actual dance.
Yeah. I think you're right.
All right. Getting back into it. Blair compares dating Nate, the prince of the Upper East Side, to an actual prince. Okay. This is where she actually talks about the security detail and stuff. The second scene with Blair and Serena.
Okay, yeah.
It's flash and all.
It's all kind of one scene. Yeah. It's one, like, opening
scene. Yeah, they're all walking to school. It's just there's different parts of the street.
Yeah.
Nate says he misses Blair, but Chuck discourages the thought. So.
Yeah, oh, Chuck. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious to anyone who, I mean, has seen the show. Yeah. But, like, but yeah, here's, you know, Chuck trying to dissuade it again, trying to play the cards early again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know it's self-serving, but Nate thinks it's he's just being his buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Serena, as of now, is not going to the ball. That's kind of like the final cut with Blair and Serena, where Serena tells...
Okay, yeah. I think that I
like
think
right Dan, before they walk in, right before they walk into the place,
right, and she said, and It seems that Blair already knew, but they're discussing it, and she's like, but why aren't you? And
yeah.
She's like, you know, it's not my thing, and I'm happy to be here for you for it.
Well, she's actually coming there to meet her grandmother.
Her grandmother. Yeah. I thought she had made a mention of being there for her. But you're right. She's there to meet her grandmother, and for Dan to meet her grandmother, too, which
yes.
is why Dan is going.
Yes. To the preparation.
And the rehearsal.
At the rehearsal, everyone is dancing when Dan and Jenny arrive. Serena is excited for Dan to meet her grandmother.
Our first glimpse of the song that they're going to play later on. And I didn't catch it. It took me my third time watching before I caught.
We'll get into where that song that, is. Also
yeah.
Appears.
Yeah. I know we will, but because we have to.
Yeah.
Because I flipped out. But my third time through hearing just the way that you would practice to it. The way that it would be done, you know, in a setting like that, that it would, if you did, you couldn't have the band that was performing that night, but you would hire a couple musicians to come and just play the cello and rhythm parts, you know, and a very cut down just so that you can get the count. Because in that kind of dance, in a waltz, it's about the count more than it is about the music.
Yes.
So that hearing it that third time, that third watch through, it was like, oh, you catch it here.
Yeah. Lily arrives and says she wishes Serena would take an interest in cotillion. However, Lily notices Jenny is an aber and asks her to volunteer. Jenny is unsure because Blair is lead deb, but Lily overrides Blair.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want you here, so you should. But we need your parents' permission. Kudos to Lily here. I know that things are tough. I know that that is an uncomfortable zone. Mm-hmm. So I need to make sure your parents know that you're doing this with me.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to ask your parents.
Yeah. It appears Lily has kind of moved on.
Yeah. Yeah. She understands where she is. She understands where she lands.
She's back with Bart. You know, she's, you know, doing her thing.
Yeah. I don't think they mentioned Bart at all.
Oh, they didn't?
But I mean, I kind of assume that as well.
And then we get Cece arrives looking for a bar. Cece and Dan disagree on their on the nature of cotillion.
Yeah, tell her she loves honesty, and man, does he lay in some honesty.
Yeah.
I don't know, where's the lie, Dan? Like, where's the lie in anything Dan is saying?
Cece confronts Lily about Dan's last name.
Yeah, and then she catches
that right away.
Yeah. This is Dan Humphrey.
Was it?
Yeah. Dan Humphrey? And when you watch the captioning, it is like Dan ellipses Humphrey.
Get a little shit under the nose there.
Yeah, yeah.
Blair and Chuck are making out in Blair's room. Blair is clear this hook up is staying on the down low. Nate arrives at the penthouse.
I just realized that I had a note that was important when Cece first walks in.
Mm-hmm.
Lily's face when Cece first walks in and people are excited to see her and she's like, ugh, mom's here.
Well, she's again. It's another person that isn't scared of Lily.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got Dan, Rufus, and now Cece.
Right. Well, and you also have another mother-daughter relationship, which we see some exploration of that in the different mother-daughter relationships mm-hmm. so far. But something that I think that a lot of us forget is that these are intergenerational things, you know, and so. These are intergenerational things, you know?
Mm-hmm. So we got the Blair and Chuck making out, and then Nate asks Blair to go to the ball with them. Blair agrees to go as friends. Chuck eavesdrops the conversation.
Yeah, and you can just see him scheming from the top of the stairs. You know, and you know, because he has the smile when it seems like things are still going his way. But the second it turns, you just see the wheels turning in his head.
Mm. And also, going back to the preseason, we got Dorota doing her job well. She yells up to Blair when Nate arrives.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping lookout. You know, it's funny. I didn't even think of that, but like, because I remember thinking like, wow, that's really good that he didn't just walk upstairs.
Yeah. Good help is hard to find.
Yeah, but now that you mention it, like that's, yeah.
And Jenny shows up at the gallery and asks Rufus if she can skip Allison's art show to the volunteer at the ball. Jenny, the one who brought Allison back, is suddenly very cold towards her mother.
She gets mean. Like, the you know, the people I go to school with shop at Saks and Bendel's. They can't, you know, like, damn. And she, like, yeah, it's the first time that we've really seen Jenny mean. Like, she's never been nasty. Yeah. And I also take this back to that mother-daughter relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
That especially like your dad just said no, but your dad's the one that you're kind of closer with, so you snap at your mom and like, you know, because dad said I can't go, and then cuts mom deep, like,
yeah,
ouch.
And it gets worse too.
Yeah, it does. But also, you know, I really liked the intro that we had from the Without Pity, the television Without Pity, about how Allison's mad about Jenny not wanting to go to her stupid thing. Like, I want to bring that up a lot too. like in the same vein, because like, I Jenny gets shitty. Jenny's not entirely out of line with this, in my opinion.
I mean, it was framed as a family event.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a family obligation. Sometimes you just got to do those things.
Yes. And also, it's at a time where she thought she could do both. And it's more important to the mom than it is to the family. And this is something that's more important to Jenny for what she's trying to accomplish in her mm-hmm. life. So it comes back to that, like, wanting your kid to be more interested in your life than you are in theirs, which irks me, you know?
Yeah.
The Vanderwinson women are spending time together when Serena gets up and walks out of the room. Cece tells Lily that she is sick. She uses this to force Serena to go to the ball.
Yeah, we learned that Lily skipped her debut.
Mm-hmm.
Lily's shift in her face when she's hugging her mom, it's the most emotion we've seen of her at all. And in order to muster up what she needs to say to Serena,
mm-hmm.
she has to back away from her mom. She can't be hugging her mom anymore. She gets any moisture out of the corner of her eye, and she turns with that demeanor, with that, you know, I'm the mom and you're going to do as I say, and turns it into a you're going to that debut. And you can see that it's, you know, the only way to wrangle that emotion in is to make that turn and to be forceful and to get that power back,
mm-hmm.
which it's, you know, such a vulnerable moment for Lily that she, you know, we don't see that much. I love that scene.
And that is the end of Act One.
Yeah.
And Blair,
she's not someone who lets people see her cry.
Yeah. Yeah. She tightened up pretty quick. And
yeah,
she laid down the law for Serena. And Act Two begins with Blair showing up for Nate's fitting. But she is clearly distracted by someone she claims is Serena keeps texting her.
Yeah, and she's so distracted, and, you know, that's driving Nate absolutely insane.
Yeah, Nate is a puppy in love, but Blair is all business.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, and we've seen Nate act like this towards Serena, but not towards Blair. And now that Blair is clearly slipping away,
mm-hmm.
now that's all he can think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jenny is shopping with Lily, talking about the ball, when they bump into Allison. Allison is clearly hurt that Lily is a mentor to Jenny. Allison leaves the high-end store, and Jenny sees that Allison was going to buy Jenny a pair of nice shoes she probably couldn't really afford.
Yeah. Lily, you didn't have to be an asshole. Like, Lily, which is like, I didn't think I'd see you here. Like, that. You didn't have to, Lily. But the way Lily handled the whole situation and after that, like, oh, thank you so much. These cotillions are so good for young women. And, like, you know, the way that they, that you know, like you said before, Lily clearly has put a period on the end of this sentence and is ready to move past it. Mm. And again, I just felt like Allison's the grown up and she's treating Jenny like a friend, like a shitty friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm so hurt that you know, you're being shitty.
Yeah. Like, she is, but it's also understandable too. I mean,
it is. I just hate when people put their shit on their kids. Yeah. You know, which not that I haven't done it, but I try very hard not to, and now it just really irks me when I see it like that.
Yeah, definitely. Dan and Serena are riding up the elevator, and Dan is very understanding that Serena has to go to Cotillion to make her grandmother happy.
He makes the joke about, like, don't take less than $1 million and like the whole, like, get it all out now. He gets his little digs in, but yeah, he seems very understanding as the scenario.
Dan and Serena arrive at the party, and Cece introduces them to Serena's escort,
Carter Bazin. He's back.
Yeah. Welcome back, Carter.
Yeah. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Mr. Carter.
Yeah, so surprise, surprise. And it appears they have some kind of history too.
Yeah, I actually had that in a note at some point that it seemed like they had history. And I think that they kind of hint at it.
They hinted it here, and then, but it definitely is more resolved later.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that they also hint at it.
But it's definitely clarified a little more, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and also this is the welcome brunch for Cece that Blair had to do because Eleanor was off in Paris again.
Yes.
Which I just, I like making a note of when Eleanor is off in Paris because she goes to Paris a lot.
You can only pay the actress so many days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can only write so many characters into a script every week.
Mm-hmm. Carter is back in town, and everyone seems to be oppressed by his worldliness.
Right. Yeah, oh, I love Dubai. I think Dubai is overrated. It's like, Yeah, well, I did Dubai with the Sheik, and it's like, oh God, I hate all of you. And this was during his, like, escapades that he's doing all this. Like, man, yeah, I cut ties and ran away. How much money did you run away with? How cut were those ties? If you still had,
well, I'm assuming that he just hung out with rich friends.
And
just mooshed off, you know, rich friends.
Yeah. And I'm also kind of assuming that, like, being cut off means that he only had, you know, a $1,000 allowance that he, or, you know, I just imagine that there was others that, well, my point,
I mean,
being,
I think they, I mean, like, in the last episode that he was on, like, it was pretty clear that he
needed money.
Yeah. He was broke.
Yeah. And that is
the,
true.
Like, the only, like, way he's surviving is like hanging out at parties and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, I forgot about that last thing
with his poncho.
Yeah.
Back at the loft, Jenny and Allison have a fight.
Yeah.
I kind of forget. Yeah, what happened in that fight?
It's Jenny's acting. I have the note of Jenny's acting is amazing because she's got that teen angst just fucking down. She's got that, like, brooding, angry, cutting. Yeah. But this is where Allison grounds her. And this is where, yes, I really am annoyed with by that whole thing of, wait, how dare you want to do something that I told you you can't do? You're grounded. Like, she didn't, at this point, Jenny did not cut out on your thing. Jenny was fully intending on going to your thing. Now you're punishing her by making her skip the thing she wants to go to and punishing her for a week afterwards because she didn't want to go to your stupid art thing.
Yeah.
And more to the point, she wanted to maybe be a little late to your stupid art thing. Like, maybe be a little bit late. Because at the time, and we all know what, you know, we do know what happens in the end. But at the time, she should have been able to make both.
Was that discussed at all?
Yeah, she says it to Rufus in the very beginning. Yeah, she says, I can be here in time. And he says, no, this is a family thing. And I think she even mentions it in that scene. That she would have been able to be back in time. And that's when Allison gets mad and grounds her. How dare you want something
that isn't... I thought that was only at the end when she talked about that. When she showed up late.
No. She does say to Rufus early on that I can do both. Yeah.
So Nate goes to Chuck for intel on who Blair is seeing.
Yeah.
You're still close with her, right?
Yeah. When he says, you have to find out who she's seeing. Me? I feel like that is the Chuckest way of coming clean ever.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like, you know, because he's saying, me, I'll find, you want me to find him? But I feel like he's also kind of saying, me? You know, like, yeah. I feel like, I just knowing Chuck, I feel like there's a double-edged sword to that me.
Yeah, definitely. And then next, Cece belittles Dan's station in life and attempts to scare him off. It backfires when Dan tells Serena that he is taking her to the ball.
Yeah. I mean, just fucking awful. Just, she's the... And the way that Dan is just like, oh no, I'm not, you know, I'm, you know...
And it's so ridiculous to think she mentioned, like, he can't learn which fork to use. Like, is he a moron?
Yeah. 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 Oh, is this my fork? No, that's a plate. Like... how where do you think this guy comes from? Like, yeah. And like, I do understand her point of like, you'll always feel out of place at these things because like, maybe Dan will, because Dan doesn't see these high society things as important or something of value to him. But he you know, the way that she like, the monologue to just tell him how he's just garbage.
Yes. Blair is telling a journalist that she is going to the ball with Nate instead of the prince when Chuck interrupts.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where he's being very rude and trying to make embarrass Blair, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see him scheming as she's walking away too, because she also mentions that Carter's coming by. She mentions to Chuck that Carter's coming by. So like, you can just see him like, okay, how do I use this to my advantage? Yeah.
Before she mentions Carter, though, he was pretty disappointed. He was like, he was kind of sad there.
Yeah. Like. Yeah.
But then he immediately, he got into plan as soon as he heard Carter's name.
Yeah. 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 And nothing's going to cheer up Chuck. Like, like a scheme, like plotting against someone.
Yes,
for his own gain.
Let's see how it works out for him, though. Cece shows up at the gallery to stage a run-in with Rufus. Cece tries to bribe Rufus to stop Dan from escorting Serena. When Rufus refuses, Cece reveals that she is the one who convinced Lily to break up with Rufus all those years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And
opening up those old wounds.
Yeah, Cece out there trying to buy off Humphreys and laying down and
buy all the paintings in the gallery.
I will buy every painting in this gallery if your kid stays home tonight.
Which is probably nothing to her.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh, this is a $10,000 painting? Adorable. oh, you've undervalued all of these. Let me
I'm gonna hang them in my bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
My servant's bathroom.
I think I have a storage shed somewhere that I can hang these up. And the thing is, she's also right. Like, wow, a rich investor came through and bought out that gallery. Allison's name is on someone's radar after that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would be good for her.
Which it's kind of funny that Rufus made that negotiation without taking that offer to Allison out of his hatred for Cece. Wait, you could have fucking launched my career, but you didn't want to because of your ex-girlfriend?
Well, it was about getting what Dan wanted as well. So that was Rufus thinking
Rufus
of Dan.
Rufus did the right thing.
If Allison would have went against this again to get...
I could just see it happening, though. Yeah. Like, if she went to the other parent. Oh, yeah, my kid will be stay far as fucking can be away from your kid.
She's
from now
grounded.
On. Yeah.
Cece on a roll manipulates Lily into rewriting Serena's announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe in this scene is where we see Lily on the phone and she's talking about, I guess it must have been earlier, that she brings up that she needed Tanqueray for the cotillion because Blair's gin is Tanqueray. But I think that's a different scene.
Yeah, Serena calls Jenny and asks why she isn't helping her get ready, and it lets slip that Dan is escorting her. Jenny, very indignant, tells Serena that she's on her way.
Yeah. Did we miss a scene where Rufus is acting weird in front of Dan? When Dan was
no, that comes up in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right.
Yeah, that was 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
yeah, Rufus shows up to the loft and he's weirdly invested in Dan escorting Serena. Dad lives vicariously through his son's sports is bad enough, but Rufus is living vicariously through his son's love life.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Dan just being like, "Hey, Dad, you're doing that thing where you're acting really weird for no reason. Could you fill me in here?"
Yeah. Then we get the Cece manipulating Lily scene, yeah. And then after that we get to Serena and it calls Jenny, and yeah, so now we know.
And now that Jenny knows that Dan's going. She's like, well, what? Fuck that.
Pikachu,
I'm already
Pikachu
grounded.
Face?
Yeah. And what does Jenny have to lose? Like, that's the other dumb parenting thing. Don't ground your kid before the thing.
Yeah.
Like they're already grounded. So fine. I'm going to fucking go.
Yep. And then Chuck, in his limo, takes a pic of Carter leaving the Waldorf penthouse and sends it to Gossip Girl.
Yep. Smooth.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, if you're Chuck, seems like a good move.
Yeah. So Lily's manipulating everyone, but Chuck is actually manipulating Gossip Girl here.
Yeah. Yeah. Chuck is actually, yeah, pulling Gossip Girl's strings and using Gossip Girl to his advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Dan shows up at the palace to pick up Serena. He tells Serena that Cece tried to bribe Rufus. They get into a fight about it, and Serena decides to go to ball without Dan. Cece is waiting in the shadows to bring Carter back into the picture.
Yeah, this is where I talked about the honest communication backfiring.
Yeah, well, and again, like as I said earlier, like you have honest communication, then you have good communication. And Dan didn't, he went with his very typical open communication self, but didn't think to have on any kind of kid gloves to say, your grandma's a piece of shit. You know, I feel like he came at it a little too harsh with that, like, oh yeah, I'm just going to say this and get it off my chest and we're good. And without,
I mean,
anticipating her
having
an emotional
reaction. Is there a way to tell your girlfriend that her grandma tried to bribe your dad without calling her a piece of shit?
I mean, no. No. The task was high. You know, it was a heavy task. I just kind of feel like Dan could have been a little less presumptuous that what he was going to say was just going to be accepted. That he should have been a little prepared for her to be.
Well, I mean, he does say, like, I know you don't want to hear this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he knew what was going to happen, I think. But
yeah, and then you have Cece with the, do you think it's time to car? Do you think it's time to
She's
call?
Just, like, waiting in the shadows. Yeah. Like, waiting in
Should
the shadows.
Should we call Carter back? Yeah. Like, like just, like, Nosferatu. Yeah. Like,
Mr. Burns.
Yeah. Who they once dressed up as Nosferatu.
Yes. Chuck convinces Nate that Blair is hooking up with Carter.
Yeah, I mean, you threw some evidence out there, and that is Nate is nothing if not easily led.
Yes.
As we have always pointed out, you can
not to mention he already has beef with Carter.
Yep, he already doesn't like him.
Wizard's first rule: people want to believe what they will believe what they want to believe.
Yeah,
yep.
And
then the devs are doing some last minute prep when Jenny has a question about Serena's announcement statement. Carter makes a few corrections.
Yeah. I didn't catch my first time watching. I didn't catch that Carter was the one that made the corrections. I feel like that was something you may want to run by Serena if you're going to make those. But it also kind of goes to show that their history, that they can joke like that.
She obviously had a good reaction to it. She giggled at it.
Yeah, she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And accomplished exactly what she wanted.
Yeah.
And so, like, it clearly was the right move. So it kind of tells you two things. That, like, because you have that second of, like, wait, he makes that edit to say that later, but she likes it. So clearly they have enough of a friendship that they can joke like that.
Yes. Chuck tells Nate that Carter is using Serena as cover to bide his time.
Yeah.
Just hold on. You get him later. Not now. Not now.
Yep. Yeah.
He's holding him back. You know, get that blood boiling.
Yeah. Just rein him in just a little bit. Get him.
Keep stoking that flame.
I'm going to get you eye to eye. You're going to be standing in line behind this guy. And like, yeah. And he plays it.
I love how Nate comes up to the top step and like looks down on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know what you're about.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, "Yo, man, I'm really sorry, dude. Like, I was in a bad time in my life." And he's like, "I'm gonna fucking kill you."
Yeah. So Carter tries to apologize to Nate, and then the debutantes are announced one by one. When Serena is announced, Carter's corrections cause a stir.
The look on both Lily and Cece's faces are priceless.
It's amazing. It is so good. It is so good. And I mean, just the look on, like, that whole everyone's reaction to it. Serena's reaction is fantastic.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, you know, she's going to bed as many billionaires as she can. Like, it was beautiful. But, yeah. like, you know, she found it hilarious.
Yeah.
And Cece did not. And Lily did not. And that made it even better.
Was this kind of a shot at Lily?
I believe so completely. I believe it was totally a shot at Lily.
And then Dan and Rufus commiserate over the power of Cece. And then Allison offers to show Dan her art.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Thanks. Mom, I'll look at your art.
I didn't get to go dance with my hot girlfriend. I gotta go look at your art.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Probably all around the house anyways.
Yeah, the art that I've seen you making as you were doing it. And yeah, oh, the lighting now, you say. Oh, in the place that I've seen Dad set up all that time that you were not here with us. Yeah. You mean that gallery, the art that I've been staring at Dad's gallery since you've been living in Hudson. Okay, let's go look at that art.
At the ball, the Pierces are doing a live performance of their secret.
Yes. Nate's
jealousy towards the Carter begins to boil over. Nate punches Carter in the middle of the dance floor.
Yes. I kind of had a fanboy moment when I heard this song come on, the Pretty Little Liars theme song, yes. which
came out like a year or two after this.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I want to say
definitely after this.
Definitely after this. Yeah, probably within a couple years. Yeah. I feel like I jumped on at like season 5. I ended up not watching the last couple seasons because I binged and then caught up with it and then didn't keep up with it on week to week time.
Yeah, I never watched it because I was spoiled early that like the main storyline was a teacher and a student hooking up. So I was like, I don't really want to watch that.
And it's funny, like as an English teacher, and it's like the English teacher, and they play that up a lot, and it's like that part always gave me the creeps, and I was always like what the fuck are you doing? Like, no, you should get caught. You should be caught.
And if it's played up as like romantic in the show, right? Or is it played up as dark?
It's both. Okay. Yes, it is definitely played up as, because it is used a lot as blackmail, and like, you know, with the whole, with the rest of the plot, I always felt like they played it as creepy romantic, which I did not like the romance angle to it, but like, yeah, I always had a problem with that angle of the show, but it was just an aspect. I never found it to be the main.
Okay.
The main storyline. I never thought of that. That was just a storyline to me.
Anyways, back to Gossip Girl.
Storyline.
Yes. Pun intended.
And then we get, so yeah, back to Gossip Girl. The fire finally boils over and Chuck punches Carter.
Chuck punches Carter and you know, Chuck has that leash and he's just, go. He's saying all the things he's going to do to her tonight. Go.
And it looks like it's going to work because, you know, Nate gets kicked out and Blair's upset because her dress gets torn. And you think Chuck played it off perfectly.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, everything Chuck set out to do thus far has worked, has come through in this particular scheme.
And speaking of Blair's dress being torn, we get Jenny gets caught between going back in time for her mom's show and a chance to get back in Blair's good graces.
Right. And so at this point, Jenny actually
should have been a little nicer to Jenny, Mom. She might have chose you.
Yeah, she may have. And you can see it weighs on her.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. But also at that point, if I'm Jenny, well, I'm already grounded.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm already grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Ground me for another week. See how that goes.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you want to come back? And Allison, during that fight earlier, makes the comment of, like, I can't keep trying to be your friend. I have to be your mom. Which is a very good point for a parent to make. It's just that you were doing it in a way of...
Too little, too late.
Yeah, too little, too late. And I need to be your mom. Do the shitty thing I want you to do instead of the fun thing you want to do. Like, not shitty thing, but like, do my thing instead of your thing. And you know what I mean? Like, you're still being a friend. You're still saying, like, I need you to do my stuff with me. You know, like.
Well, I think the point was more that the commit was, like, it was a last minute switch to go to the ball.
And I get that. Like, I get how it would be jarring, but it's also, you know, if you were a little nicer to your kid, maybe they would have made a little more effort to get back.
That's what I said.
Like you said, yeah.
Yeah, if she hadn't ground her earlier and been a little more understanding, this could have been avoided.
Yeah, exactly.
Serena and Lily have an argument about Serena's announcement.
This is an awesome scene.
Yeah. And this might be Blake's best scene of the show so far.
Yeah, yeah. Blake's best scene, and Lily. Lily is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The
but she's always good.
She is. You're right. Lily has been a powerhouse.
So that's why I kind of want to point out Blake, because this is definitely a step up from her normal performance.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And starting with Lily being like, you started a fight. How did Serena have, like, Serena's date got punched in the face.
Yeah.
And she had nothing to do with that.
But of course, Lily blames Serena.
But of course, Lily immediately blames Serena. And now with Serena saying what happened to us since our last conversation, like what happened to you since then? You see that, you know, because we have seen Lily trying to make progress as a parent. Mm-hmm. And then this happens and she immediately went back to the, you started this, you're doing this stuff. That moment when she says, all you care about when you see me is what people think of you. And Cece steps out from behind and she has, and you just see that moment in Lily's face of like, fuck, I'm doing it. And mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. every single parent who has ever said, I will never be anything like you, has had that moment when they look at their kid and they hear the thing come out of their mouth and they say, fuck, I just did it. Like, I just was my dad right there.
Yeah.
And it's a gut wrench and it's a stab in the heart. And I think that Lily communicated that emotion amazing. And like you said, Blake's acting and Blake, you know, taking on this moment to really push back against her mom,
mm-hmm.
and to really like to see the progress that they had made in the past couple weeks just kind of come to a halt, you know, and her really pushing to those emotional boundaries was really powerful.
Yeah, it's definitely a very strong end to the second act there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A great scene.
Yeah. And then, so we go on to the third act. Dan gets a mysterious phone call. Who is calling and where is he going?
Yeah, and it's such a quick call, and it's such a, okay, I'll meet you right outside. And he's surprised.
Yeah, he's clearly surprised to who's calling him.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was really guessing, you know, at that point, there were many people it could have been, and the person it was, I didn't guess. You know,
I can't really say if I can't remember if I knew the first time I watched or not.
Yeah,
too many times. So I obviously knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And Serena is comforting Carter when we learn that they have history. So this is where we get a little more details.
Yeah.
Serena learns that Cece called Carter before Serena even agreed to go to Cotillion.
Yeah, we get that moment of they clearly have a history. She woke up the next morning and left. But that when you find out that Cece had planned this for at least a week, it's, you know.
Yes. Santorini. This is going to be like an ongoing thing. We're going to get drips and drabs on what happened in Santorini.
Okay. Okay.
Keep that name.
She did say, like, that's not how I expected things to play out, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she clearly has her own side of that story.
And outside the ball, Dan arrives. It appears Lily is the one who called. Very touching speech. It is pretty clear that Lily and Rufus are meant for each other since they both seem to live vicariously through their children's love lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. Well, and Lily's speech to Dan is great.
Yeah.
Like it is.
It is a cute moment.
Yeah. And the way that she's like, this is really hard for me to say. When she says, you know, since she's been with you, she doesn't stay out late. She's not getting drunk. She's not doing drugs. She's doing all of her schoolwork. And I can't say that it's because of you, but I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
And it flashes back to that moment where Dan says to Lily in episode 1 or 2, I think Dan might be exactly the type of guy Serena needs.
Yeah.
And you see that Lily now agrees with that.
She gets it.
Especially, and one of the big pieces to that, going back to early Lily of, no, go to these parties. Go to these parties. Mm-hmm. You go out and socialize. I don't care if you're not getting along with Blair. You go fix it, and you show up to these things. And now Lily's realizing that, my kid is really better off. My kid is healthier and happier now with this guy who isn't doing all of that, who isn't sucked into that whole scene.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely a great speech.
Yeah.
It's a good moment. And so Nate and Carter eliminated. Chuck swoops in for his prey and starts dancing with Blair. He thinks he has Blair all to himself, but he miscalculates when Blair learns Chuck is the one who caused her humiliation.
Yeah, and all you got to do, Chuck, is not look like that. Just don't look like that. Just wipe the fucking smug look off your face.
Cheshire
and
grin.
You are home free. At least for tonight.
Yeah.
Nate's going to find out soon enough, and Nate would surely find out about it not being Carter soon enough.
Yeah.
But Nate, or Chuck, all you got to do is just wipe that fucking look off your face.
Yep.
Chuck just doesn't get why being shady sucks. He's always surprised.
To be fair, Blair kind of acts the same way, so he kind of assumes.
Scheme should impress you.
Yeah.
And to a degree, I get where he's coming from with that. It's just that
no one likes to be the target.
Yeah. Blair loves a scheme. She doesn't want to be schemed.
And she definitely doesn't want to be humiliated in public.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Cece confronts Serena about the announcement, but Serena has finally become disillusioned by her grandmother.
Yeah, she sucks. God.
Yeah.
And I loved Serena. We don't need to talk about this. Like, oh, we can talk about it later in the year. No, we don't really need to. None of this is for me, and I did this for you. And are you even sick? And she's like, no, but I could be.
Yeah.
Although
the final scene might disagree with that.
And it's so funny because she hugs Lily. She tells Lily she's sick, hugs her. And you see the look on her face of okay, I'm up to something, you know? When she now lies about lying.
And
she sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because she has a daughter that wants to be there for her if she's sick.
Yeah.
Lily, the second she found out her mom was sick, she went from arguing and cutting to, oh, my mommy, you know? Oh, I'm here for you. I'll take care of you. Anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, your kid wants to take care of you. So now you're lying about lying. So now you got nothing.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
All to maintain this fucking image.
Yeah. That's the most important thing to that's why they're called socialites.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's aptly named.
Yeah.
Dan arrives and sweeps Serena out onto the dance floor. That's a very, very cute scene.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's right. He shows up right behind them.
Mm.
Yeah. Very cute.
And then Chuck is looking for Blair and sees Blair and Nate making out before slipping into the bedroom.
Yeah, and he gives that wink. That wink to Chuck.
Hey, bro.
Thanks, bro. It finally worked out. You got it. Hey, man, your plan worked perfectly.
And you see Chuck's cold, bitter heart just breaking.
And it's funny because in Nate's mind, Chuck's plan worked perfectly. Chuck thought Carter was the scheme. Yeah. Was being schemed. Not Blair. Yep. Not Chuck.
That is the end of Act 3. We come back for the epilogue. Jenny arrives at the empty gallery and apologizes to Allison. Allison hits Jenny with some hard truths.
Yeah, I mean, Allison is shitty again.
Honestly, I think this is finally Allison becoming being a parent.
I think the reason why I feel like it's shitty is when she says the thing like, look around, is this the person you want to become? Allison is not taking into consideration that Jenny actually has career aspirations that involve doing these things, doing these events, being a part of this world. And that every step, and as an artist who's trying to get a foot in the door, there's no sympathy for your daughter who's also an artist trying to get her foot in the door. You know?
I agree with that part, but I think the show didn't do a great job of showing this, but there was like a commitment made, and like I think it was implied that Dan and Jenny would be like serving refreshments or something like that. Like it was a commitment that was made and then broken. That's what she's saying. Think about the person you want to be.
I think it's more just telling your kid you're a shitty person because you wanted to go to the fun thing and not my boring thing. Is like I feel like that's too far personally. Like I feel like that's shit you don't put on your kids when they're teenagers and
it was definitely bad considering the earlier things that happened between them. But I think if that was like the only thing, I think it would have been fine.
Yeah.
If she hadn't grounded her in the earlier scene.
Yeah. Well, and
and just been like really shitty and, you know, acting like her friend.
Yeah. And I haven't seen Allison try to be anything other than just, I want my kids to do. I feel like Allison so far has demonstrated that she's one of those people that wants her kids to be who she wants them to be and be there for her, despite the fact that she wasn't always there for them. I find Allison to be a very selfish character.
Yes, she is. And again, I think this is something that maybe it's just in my head canon because the show is not really showing it very well. But I just get the impression that before all this happened, they were a very close family that did everything together. And Allison, you're right. She is being selfish because she's the one that broke it up. But she's trying to get back to that.
Right. And I think that where I see it is when you come back into it and then you're like, here's a thing for me that we're all going to do. And Jenny skipping the event, yeah, bad. Jenny doing both things, that was, I felt like it was, she was way too harsh on Jenny the whole time because she wanted Jenny to do something for her.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, if it was Rufus coming down on Jenny, I may have felt a little differently. If it was Rufus having those interactions, being like, we do this as a family, because Rufus has been the one who honestly has tried to keep it a family yeah. together for the most part up until, what's the next scene?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Rufus calls Lily.
Yeah. But going back to that, I hate to be the one defending Allison constantly because I don't really like Allison. But like going from her point of view, again, like she's now trying to get this back the way it was because Jenny came and got her. Like she,
yeah.
before that, she had no intention of coming back.
Yeah.
So now she came back for Jenny, and now Jenny is suddenly kind of doing a 180. That's where I kind of see Allison's point of view.
And I get that, and I see Jenny as Jenny's still the kid.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
And that's what I constantly with Allison's parenting, I feel like Allison parents as an older friend, not as a parent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
And I
totally agree with that. I'm just trying to like bring Allison. I get Allison's point of view.
And it's very
understandable.
Yeah, I see it. I just also don't.
You're absolutely right. I don't agree with it, but I understand where she's coming from.
Yeah. And I have a very different parenting point of view of where I am very much like the second my kids are like, oh, but this thing came up. I'm like, do it because this is what you want to do. I don't want you to feel like you have to always do my thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so now we get to that scene where Rufus calls Lily and asks about what Cece told him. Rufus tells Lily that he should have never let Lily let him go.
I should have never let you let me go. Great line. Great. Like that should be a Linkin Hawk song right there. But
yeah, it should be.
But also, Rufus, you're not supposed to be talking to Lily.
Well, he mentions that.
Yeah, yeah, she does. She's like, aren't you not supposed to be talking to me? But it doesn't feel like Rufus put that period on the end of that sentence. Or at least, you know, whatever. You know, or at least he hasn't entirely closed that door.
Yeah, definitely. So we get the final montage of the episode as Apologize by Timbaland featuring One Republic plays. Dan and Serena share a moment while Lily watches, comforted that her daughter is happy. Cece is taking lots of pills. I guess she really is sick. Nate and Blair are engaged in foreplay. Chuck is leaving town.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, foreplay leading to more play, it looked like. And
definitely, probably the hottest scene we've seen so far. The raciest scene.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And Cece taking the pills, like, okay, so she is sick. And lied about lying, which just, I don't know if they're trying to gain sympathy by being like, no, but she really is sick. But I'm just like, you asshole. Like, people want to care for you if you're sick. Like, why are you being such an asshole?
Yeah. And then we get the final monologue from Gossip Girl. It's often said that no matter the truth, people see what they want to see. Some people might take a step back and find out they were looking at the same big picture all along. Some people might see that their lies have almost caught up to them. Some people may see what was there all along. And then there are those other people who run as far as they can so they don't have to look at themselves. And as for me, I can see clearly now. XOXO, Gossip Girl.
Yeah, and that monologue goes over that montage.
Yes, yeah.
And because it's the, some people, their lives have caught up with them is the CC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we also need to know, like, where's Chuck going? All he says is the airport. Yeah. So are we going to see Chuck next week? And if Chuck isn't there and Gossip Girl is, then is my initial theory completely blown?
We definitely see Chuck interacting with Gossip Girl.
Yeah. Well, Chuck sends to Gossip Girl, mm-hmm. But if I was Gossip Girl and I didn't want people to know, I'd send tips too.
Mm-hmm. Any predictions on what's coming up next?
I mean, Nate and Blair are back together, and we have Dan and Serena still, you know, back together in a strong point. And Chuck skipping town. I'm assuming that we're probably going to see some more drama unfold with Jenny and Allison, and Lily and Rufus stuff,
yeah,
is still on the horizon. Yeah, and I'm kind of assuming we won't see Cece for a minute. That just kind of seems how the show runs.
Yeah.
That you see somebody, you'll see them again in a few episodes, or maybe next season. But yeah, I think that we've got to be looking at Blair riddled with guilt. While with Nate after sleeping with Chuck is, I think, would be a logical.
Yeah. So if you're breaking the season into the typical act structure, I would say this is probably the end of act two. And now we're going to kind of like start going downhill to the
got you.
Let's go ahead and get into some segments. This week in fandom, as always, I went back and looked at the Television Without Pity message boards from back in 2007. The biggest debate seemed to be whether Nate was being a douche or not in the end there, where he gives the wink.
And you know, I mean, I don't think you can wink without being a douche. But also, I feel like I can't be mad at that.
And that's just Nate. He's a dude, bruh.
Yeah, I mean,
Nate is a dude, bruh.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think Blair would have been mad if she saw it, you know, because she wouldn't have known if she didn't piece it together. But
the fact that it was Chuck and she has been sleeping with Chuck, I think changes the whole connotation to Blair in Blair's eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it was just normally his best friend,
yeah. I don't think
she wouldn't have bothered her.
Yeah, if it was 2 weeks ago, I don't think it would have bothered her.
Yeah.
Is really the one. Yeah.
And yes, not much else going on. You know, everyone hated on Allison, so that's not surprising. Yeah.
But Jenny hate, it says, too.
Yeah, there's some Jenny hate this week.
Which Jenny was a bratty teenager, and she played the part.
Yeah, I've noticed that for whatever reason, people hate kids acting like kids.
Yeah, that tracks. That tracks.
Yeah.
And Jenny just nails the fucking teenager bit. And
yeah.
I think you also have to throw a shout out to the writers on Jenny's, for Jenny as well, that she's written very appropriately for her age as well.
Did I have any other points? Because I didn't print that part out.
It is, he's so manipulative and selfish and just completely.
Chuck, yeah. So, yeah, they're talking about Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of CC hate.
Oh, yeah, that was, like people were saying, like, specifically, like, Chuck is super manipulative and selfish, but I'm still, like, in love with him.
Yeah. That tracks. Jenny hate, Allison hate. Yeah, a lot of Allison hate. And yes, Chuck is an attempted rapist, but I still adore him and I'm rooting for him to win.
Yeah, that was a quote.
God damn it.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into some episode grades. You went first last time, so I will go first. I gave this episode an A. This is a great episode. It was well shot. The writing was pretty good. Acting was good. Blake's probably best performance of the season so far, and everyone else did very well as well.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I liked the writing. I liked I felt like it really pushed the plot a lot. It really established character relationships. I thought it was a really good episode. Yes.
So what was your actual
grade? It was an A.
Yeah. Okay, so I will write that down. For Stockwatch, going up, Dan, he killed it. Got the girl in the end. They had their great moment there. Even it was a little bumpy in the middle there, but that's just you know, normal act structure there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you got to have some bumps in the road, and then he overcame them. The little mini hero's journey.
Yeah.
Serena also, she stood up for herself. She had her own agency, and she also got her guy in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I had Lily going up, you know, because, you know, she also started off rough, but then she had that great moment at the end where she calls Dan and they had their great, she had that great speech there. About,
yeah.
You know, so that was good. And, you know, Blair, she had a good, I had her going up as well because, you know, she finally got to sleep with Nate.
Yeah. 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 That is true.
She was the lead Deb. And, you know, even though there was a little embarrassment there on the dance floor, she had her debut and,
yeah,
and then ended up with Nate in the end and looked like they were having a good time.
Yeah. I completely agree.
And of course, Nate rocked the episode.
Yeah.
He knocked Carter on his ass and then he got some ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Nate, yeah.
Displaying that toxic masculinity in full force there.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it worked.
Yeah, totally, totally. And I largely agreed with what you said. Dan, Nate, You said Lily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, Lily, it looked like her stock was going to tank all episode, and then she just shoots up in the end. And Serena and Blake Lively, to, you know, really mm-hmm. coming through on this one. I also included Jenny's stock going up, and here's why. Despite all of the bullshit with her mom, she is back in Blair's good graces.
Yeah.
She has now wiped the slate clean with Blair, so as a socialite, her stock just went back up. So that's where I could see Jenny very easily going down this episode because of all this shit with Allison. But I think, to me, the bigger takeaway was she and Blair are back at good terms.
Anyone else going up?
I had Blair also. Yeah.
So I actually did have Jenny going down because we didn't really see any results of that happening yet. That's fair.
So, I just kind of took the trade rumors and project that.
So she might be looking back up, but I think overall she was down this episode.
I think it is a legit fair hit on Jenny, too.
And then Allison, obviously down. Rufus down for, you know, breaking his promise and calling Lily.
Yeah.
And also trying to live through his son.
Yeah, creepy.
Carter down because he got knocked out. And then also Cece, because she, not only was she an evil schemer, but she failed at her schemes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she's not good at it. Well, she's not. She can't play this game anymore. Yeah. You know.
I think she did well, but she overplayed her hand.
Yeah. Oh, every time, because she's used to having that money, that power of her money, and it doesn't work on Humphreys.
Yeah, but yeah, it worked on her. You know, her daughter and her granddaughter. But yeah.
Well, and really, it worked on her daughter. It didn't even work on. The money doesn't work on Serena, which also kind of really brought up my question.
Well, no, but it did work on Serena because she told Dan because she pushed Dan into basically getting uninvited by Serena.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'm saying that she didn't buy her out though, way she bought Lily out. It wasn't the money thing. Yes, Cece is manipulative.
Well, the money thing was back before. It wasn't money this time. This time it was just manipulating with the sickness.
Right. Well, and the reason I said the money this time is because when she tries to buy off Rufus and she says, my daughter, you know, the money wasn't good enough for you, but just like back then, it'll be good enough for my granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she implies that she's going to use her money as well, but yeah, she sucks, and her stock goes down.
So who do you have for stock going down?
I pretty much, it's the same thing. I had Cece's stock plummeting, and both Rufus for you know going back to Lily in the end, and all of the, like, even though it's something that I want to see happen, it's like you're still being shitty to your family.
Yeah.
And Allison just for being. Just stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Not really. I didn't really give anything to Carter. I feel like he got it, you know. I feel like he kind of broke even because he tried to just be in here and just be a normal dude. like I feel like Carter showed up to this episode to be like, I'm just going to be here and hang out, and why am I getting punched in the face? Like, I get this guy got beef with me, but I tried to apologize.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was definitely a victim of circumstance.
Yeah.
For best outfit, I had Serena's dress, the Pamela Bean gold couture gown. She had the frilly bust with the elaborate flower poofing out at in the skirt area.
For me, I loved Nate's tux. I love tails. Like, I've always thought that that kind of style is just really, really fucking cool, and I like it. That's... Also, a shout out to Jenny's school outfit in the beginning, all the plaid that she had on.
Yeah. So that's funny you mentioned Nate's outfit, because going back to this week in fandom, there was actually a lot of talk at how ugly the boys' outfits were. There was no way they would wear gray to a debutante. It has to be black.
Oh, I did not know that. I just know that, like, I always like that style. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's also why I'm not in the fashion industry. Yes. That's why. Yes. That's the reason.
All right, but that is it for for our segments. Anything you want to plug this week?
Not entirely. What I was going to bring up for this is I started watching Deadwood, which season one of Deadwood spotted Kristen Bell has a cameo.
Yeah. As, yes, a very young Kristen Bell.
Yeah, it's 2006 Kristen Bell. So I guess it's post-Veronica Mars, pre-Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's very young.
Wait, no. Wait. Yeah, yes. Because Veronica Mars was on UPN.
Yeah, and that was, like, 04, right?
So the last season was on CW, I think. So that was 7, so 6, 5, maybe?
Okay. First season? All right. So I guess she was doing Veronica Mars, which is kind of funny because her part in Deadwood was she was playing a girl who was hustling but also a prostitute, and so it was just kind of a very grown-up role for someone who was also on like a teen-oriented drama, I thought. But she's fucking awesome in the episode. She's really good.
I haven't really watched anything new. I'm rewatching Sopranos right now, so if you haven't seen that, watch it. Sex, Lies, and College Girls, I told you about that last time. Mm-hmm. But definitely check that out. And so if you want to follow us, you can follow us on TikTok and Instagram at NonJudgingBreakfastPod, and on the social media formerly known as Twitter at NJBPod. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search for the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod and take your seat at the Non-Judging Breakfast table with us.
Yeah, and if you have any questions or comments, or if you want to get in touch with us, please feel free to email us at nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com. And we'll try to answer your questions. We'll read your emails here on the show. And if you like the show, please give us a review, give us a like, give us a follow. It really helps with our visibility on Apple, on the Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on iHeart. So please help boost us if you feel so inclined.
And tell a friend.
Yeah, get your friends to watch and listen.
Next episode in 2 weeks, we'll be back to talk about season one, episode 11. Roman Holiday. The Max episode preview reads, Blair's father comes home for the holidays with his boyfriend.
Oh, shit.
Da, da, da.
Christmas episode. And, well, holiday episode, yeah. I guess.
Josh George definitely likes his holiday episodes.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. I'm excited. Because we've only seen flashbacks of Harold so far. So yes. Now we actually get to meet him.
In the present.
Yeah.
With
his boyfriend. And we know everybody loves Harold. Like, yeah. That's something that was well established. Is Eleanor in the episode, too?
We shall see.
Okay. I'm very curious.
And we'll find out. Until next time, you know you love us. XOXO.